It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are continuing our conversations about the Illinois General Assembly's session that wrapped up over the weekend with the passage of a state budget that includes $800 million in new revenue. In the past 2 days, we've spoken with the Democratic Senate President and just now the House Speaker, the Republican minority leader in the House, and we turn now to the Republican leader in the Senate. John Curran is the Senate minority leader. He's a Republican from Downers Grove. Leader Curran, welcome back to the 21st show. And Leader Curran, you might be muted. Are you with us? All right. Well, Leader Curran, are you, you're with us?
I am, Brian.
All right. Good to talk with you. Glad you're there. Glad we worked out that technical snafu. All good. Let me just remind listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455, especially if there is some way in which you know the state budget affects you personally. We'd love to hear about it. Maybe on the taxes side, maybe you are not looking forward. You're into sports betting and you're not looking forward to potentially paying higher taxes on that. Maybe you use those little nicotine pouches that are the rage among younger people these days. Let us know, 800-222-9455. All right, Leader Curran, big picture, what is your assessment of the budget that passed late Saturday night?
Brian, it's a budget that we continue to be unable to live within our existing revenues. Again, they had to go to the well with a series of tax increases. Not as much as they did the prior year. And thankfully, the tax that would have hurt the most went nowhere in the House, and that was the delivery tax, which is a regressive statewide tax that really would have hurt really working families the most.
Well, let's get into that then. We can talk about this delivery tax. So the idea would have been $1.50 on deliveries, and this could be anything, I understand, from packages from Amazon or other big online retailers to, you know, your food delivery service. And I understand that 80% of the money would have gone to the Chicago area transit agencies, 20% set aside for downstate transit. Why, in your view, is this not a, you know, a way to sort of move Illinois? I think Democrats would say this is moving Illinois' tax system into the new economy. What do you...
Well, Brian, it's a grossly regressive tax for a party that consistently talks about being progressive. This tax will disproportionately hurt the lower income households the most. So the single mom that is ordering, can't get out because she's working to the grocery store, ordering a bag of groceries and adds a box, you know, a package of diapers to that order, is getting hit with that the same tax as maybe someone on the Gold Coast of greater means ordering an expensive Gucci purse. They both pay the same tax. Not exactly equitable. So surprising that this is the tax coming from today's Illinois Democratic Party from all the verbiage that we hear from them. At the same time, Brian, take a look at the exemption in this. What is exempted in terms of delivery? Any bicycle deliveries. So you talk about the 80%, 20% split, but that exemption is, I would guess, about 95% of that exemption is going to happen in the city of Chicago, where bicycle deliveries are much more commonplace. So even the exemption is unfair to downstate, much of your viewership, listenership, to downstate Illinois, who is not going to be able to take a part of that exemption, because when you talk about, you know, more rural, less densely populated areas of the state, bicycle delivery service is really not practical. So when you couple the exemption that is completely pointed at the city of Chicago to take advantage of and exempting out all of those deliveries, and then you have 80% of the revenue from the rest of the state being directed to largely the CTA to bail out their unfunded pensions liability with this regressive tax. This is a terrible public policy.
How, who should pay for this? I mean, the C, you know, people will say if the CTA and the other regional transportation association or authority, I should say, if they're not, you know, if their trains and buses are not running, there's going to have to be a ton of new road spending to accommodate that additional traffic. Who should be paying for this?
Well, Brian,
Go
first, they
ahead. Yeah.
passed the Senate passed a package at about $1.6 billion. The fiscal cliff, as it's called, is about a $760 million. So only in Illinois do we take a $700 million problem and use it as an excuse to tax $1.5 billion. You know, so let's talk about first. You know, let's start with the real number here, 760, 770. Let's talk about efficiencies. You know, this is a much smaller economic problem than what was passed in the middle of the night in the Illinois Senate.
What do you think about the idea that people downstate should have to, or should they have to, I guess, is how I would frame that, to, you know, pay for this Chicago area transit problem?
It's a look, the Chicago area transit problem is a regional problem. This should not be being taxed on the backs of downstate taxpayers. And you know, as someone that represents the suburbs, and my district is in the RTA foot mass transit footprint, I still object to what's going on here because some of the dedicated revenues from the suburbs are specifically directed to the CTA's pension fund in this package, which is not equitable at all. I think this was always about trying to tap into the suburban tax base to pay for that massive unfunded liability at the Chicago Transit Agency. And at the same time, I mean, the vast majority of that $760 million fiscal cliff is the CTA, represents more than $500 billion of that. You know, that's where the mismanagement has been at. And we just had a $1.2 million ghost payrolling scheme that came to light at the CTA. So that's where the mismanagement is. And yet, this proposal empowers and adds Brandon Johnson, Mayor Brandon Johnson's authority to appoint additional board members to Metra and PACE, suburban mass transit. So we're giving the city of Chicago greater control over suburban mass transit, while at the same time we're saying suburbs and even downstate, we need you to bail out the CTA pension fund. I mean, this was all, my fear was this was always going to be written from a Chicago perspective. It certainly was. When you look at from the exemption to Chicago's increased authority on appointments to where tax revenues are specifically directed, which is at that CT to that CTA pension fund, this was always a device to bail out Chicago, and that's why a $770 million problem turned into $1.5 billion in taxes.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with State Senator John Curran, who is the Senate Minority Leader, the leader of the Republican caucus in the Illinois State Senate. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, we are talking about the session that just ended, some of the things that did not pass, such as the big transportation funding bill that would have worked to shore up the CTA, RTA, PACE services in the Chicago area, but also the things that did, like the state budget. And I want to return to that now. So what the governor put out a news release after passage. It's 12:16 in the morning is when it came into my inbox. He says it was his seventh consecutive balanced budget. What do you think of that assessment?
Well, we don't agree in terms of actual balance, you know, and you know they have long advertised that they would have more trouble with this budget because of declining federal revenue from you know the COVID-19 relief dollars finally starting to dry up coming from Washington, D.C. So you know I understand what the, you know when the governor talks about credit rating increases. And look, credit rating increases are a good thing. But you know, when we're starting from near junk status, there's only one way to go, and that's up. Illinois has a long way to go. We continue to be under this governor since he's taken office. Illinois is bottom five in the country in GDP growth, bottom five in the country in unemployment. I mean, the economic indicators do not show Illinois in a growth mode. And that's fundamentally what we need to change in this state.
Well, if what would the Republicans have done differently if you don't like the approach that the Democrats came up with here at $800 million in new revenues,
You know,
probably not
Brian, a
enough cuts? Go
budget,
ahead. Yeah.
look, I don't want to sound like that. A budget is a large document. There's things in this budget we do support. Continuing to fund the evidence-based school funding formula, very important. Disappointed that they lined out the $43 million for local property tax relief. It's the only property tax relief funds dedicated in the state budget. And curiously, this year that was taken out. But so there is good. I don't want to, it's not all bad, but there are points that we fundamentally disagree with. I would say a topic from listening to some of your other interviews, your market, a lot of your market area listenership is represented, happens to be represented by Republican senators or representatives. So that $240 million in Democratic capital-only projects is not equitable. And it's not that it hurts Republicans. I mean, there are Republicans and Democrats living in every legislative district, every part of this state. But to just apportion out capital based upon which party you happen to be represented by in the General Assembly, that is wholly undemocratic. So, things like that in this budget, we just fundamentally disagree with.
Maybe we should draw that out for listeners who don't follow state government as closely as we do. When you're talking about member capital projects or whatever, this is like a pool of money that legislators can direct towards important, I guess the best spin on it is important projects in their districts. People who are critical of that will just call it pork spending. But in this budget, it's only available for Democrats. It's not available for Republicans. I have that right?
Correct. And that, I mean, and I would, and Brian, look, I'd be the first to point out, not as big a deal in my area because I'm an island. I don't touch another Republican district, and half of my Senate district's represented by a Democrat in the House. So, in terms of regional effect, diminished in my part. But there's vast parts of this state where Democrats and Republicans live that are represented by Republicans, and they're completely frozen out of this and get nothing for their districts. That is fundamentally wrong. It's an abuse of power. It's really brazen power on display. And I would challenge any of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle to talk about how that's good, fundamental, democratic, sound public policy. It's not.
One of the things that you mentioned, the uncertainty over the budget this year and the end of COVID funds, there's obviously an even bigger question mark related to spending on the Medicaid health care program, as well as other areas of investment, be it in education or you name it, Justice Department grants that could be significantly limited by the Congress and the Trump administration. How do you view your role as the Illinois Senate Republican leader in advocating on behalf of Illinois with a government that seems to be hostile to the state of Illinois?
Well, there is definitely, and I talked about this from day one. The governor has taken an approach to be to attempt to be the top national adversarial critic of the president. And that is something that does kind of put Illinois in a target zone, so to speak. But having said that, what's going on nationally, I would tell you, we don't know yet. That legislation is in the Senate. Everything I see, we expect substantial changes, and then it's going to come back to the House after that. So we have a long way to go. And this is, this does not look to be something that's going to affect the 2026 fiscal budget, but it is something to start that, may be a factor in 2027. Certainly anything that adds further burden to this state budget is going to have to be dealt with. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we have to get spending under control, both at the federal level and at the state level. I mean, we have had a $15 billion increase in state spending since Governor Pritzker first took office. That is nearly a 40% increase in 6 years. That is not going on in any of the households that are listening to this program right now, or very few of them. So, we need to get our arms around our arc here in the state and this, massive increase in spending that's going on here year over year.
What do you think should be lawmakers' top priorities when, as is expected, you all do eventually return to Springfield for session, be it in the fall or sooner if necessary?
Brian, ultimately, long term for Illinois, our best path is to improve our growth, our ability to attract outside investment. So, I mean, that should be our economic agenda. So when we approach issues like energy, this has, we used to be very strongly positioned, and energy used to be, and our energy network used to be something that attracted investment to Illinois. We've got to get back there. So I think that is kind of top priority for the state. Obviously, public transit's going to have to be dealt with. I hope it's dealt with in a manner different than what passed in the middle of the night in the Senate. But it certainly, we do have to make sure people are able to get to work efficiently, and have an effective public transit system. But certainly, what passed, the other day in the Senate, installed in the House, it is really, I think, a failed attempt at that.
Senator John Curran is the minority leader of the Illinois State Senate. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your perspective today on the 21st show.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. We will have more conversation on the state session that just ended, particularly how spending will affect people in poverty and Black Illinoisans. That's coming up after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.